Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KRISANNEHALL.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome, JC.
Howdy.
Let me pull that over there so I'm not reaching your arm over there kind of thing going on. Happy Friday, everybody. Donovan Jewett says, whoopee, here we go. Welcome, everybody.
Well, it is Friday, isn't it?
It is Friday. You know what? I think, don't choke to me. Do the Heimlich over here. Dragon's Talon leading the charge with a Benjamin super chat already.
Wow. Thank
haven't
even you. Said
so
yet.
We haven't even said anything yet.
Like this could be the day when it all goes sideways.
I know. And Dragon's Talon
already
loves us. See, that's just in unconditional love right there, JC. Absolutely unconditional love. Well, Chris Ann, remember to hit the mute button over here so we won't have JC
Jacksonville, Florida
chasing some crazy echo again, because that was my fault yesterday, and I usually hit that button and I don't. Hello, everybody. Got somebody from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, I kept thinking it was my cousin. I saw that name and I was like, is that my cousin?
No, it is your cousin, dude.
No, he's in Texas. Rob?
Oh, Rob Jackson. No, your other cousin was on here this week. Other Jackson from Alachua. Tom.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah, he was on a couple times this week. And I was like, hey, cuz, what's up, man?
Cool.
I thought Rob was moved from Texas back to Jacksonville.
I don't know, man.
So Rob Jackson, if you're his cousin, let us know so we can get in touch again. So, JC, today's show, I am your cousin.
Okay, bro.
There you go, man.
Good to see you, man.
All right, everybody. Oops, there we go. The obligatory commercial. You guys get these commercials in the middle of your thing. Hey, JC, want to see something funny? Where is this? Okay, here we go. I think I don't have to put this up on the full webpage view so everybody can see it. Otherwise, you can't see others. This is my Facebook page, JC. Look at that. I have been Facebook slammed by the fact checkers.
Mm-hmm.
My post contains false information checked by independent fact checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Is that nice? See, let's see why. Okay. Fact, ADA does not provide blanket exemptions from face mask requirements. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
That's not in the post.
That is not in the post. Okay.
Attention, everyone. There are blanket exemptions from the ADA.
Yeah, no. It requires reasonable accommodation to anyone who cannot wear a mask due to a medical condition.
Yeah.
Medical condition. You cannot be forced to disclose any medical condition, and the Supreme Court of the United States recognizes a constitutional right to privacy.
So USA Today, if we didn't already know, you're liars and Marxist statist idiots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd say, oh, I guess they can't read.
Right.
Right? That would be like the good explanation. If we gave you morons the benefit of the doubt, we'd say, oh, I guess they can't read. But this actually reveals, I mean, which is worse? Are you revealing that you are a liar, or are you revealing that you don't have a frickin' eighth grade equivalent education?
Right. And I said here, no business may deny you service. Okay? Mm. That's not the same as admittance.
Correct.
Right? Because you can get a reasonable accommodation.
Reasonable, like, you had a guy contact you, I think, about food or whatever, and they told him, okay, you can stand right there and we will serve you outside, you know, in front of the door. And you told him, well, you know, that's reasonable accommodation. So that actually fits into the stipulation. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, fact check.
Idiots.
The fact checks are actually fake checks.
No, I mean, and everybody knows that.
I
mean,
I know
that's
this.
The
like,
whole
JC,
thing. It's
when
a freaking
is the last
joke.
Time you saw me have 10, have you've seen my website give 10 shares?
Right. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, reasonable people know it's a joke, but it comes along with throttling.
Well, and it also comes along with threats.
Yeah.
Because if you share this, now the fake checkers are blasting that you're blasting fake news on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
So then you get all the crazy people and all your friends that are idiots coming on saying, why are you posting fake news? Why are you posting fake information? You know, I'm not posting fake information. There is absolutely nothing in this post anywhere that is fake.
So this should be clipped out. We need Thaddeus to clip this, and then you can post this little segment as a video on your Facebook.
There you go.
And explain to the either illiterate or liar fake checkers at USA Today what the thing actually says.
So, JC, I want to do a little history lesson today because
it's shocking to make a newspaper when you can't read.
I know.
Like, how do you publish a newspaper
and
you can't read?
I don't know, man. So our friend Miss Miriam sent us a beautiful gift today. Several gifts, actually. She sent you that hat. Jesus is my boss.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is. And she also sent
That's why I don't listen to you other morons trying to tell me what to do.
She also
You ain't my boss.
She also sent me this pin, which is a replica of George Washington's merit badge. Yep. This, by the way, I thought this would be a cool little history moment on Friday. This is where we get the Purple Heart. So she sent me a cloth version, a felt version, just like the one that you see here. But this is the one that George Washington put out.
Show it again.
Oh, sorry. There.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a felt version, just like the one you see in this picture. And what's interesting, JC, is that the merit badge from George Washington sort of slipped away until the 1920s. And then it was brought back to life, actually, on February 22nd, 1932, under George Washington's 200th birthday, the U.S. War Department announced the creation of the Order of the Purple Heart. Now, when George Washington handed out his merit badge, it was not for getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It was for any singularly meritorious action and permitted its wearer to pass guards and sentinels without a challenge, and the honoree's name and regiment were also to be inscribed in the Book of Merit. Apparently, the Book of Merit was lost at some point in time. And so we don't have that Book of Merit. We have the names, I guess the History Channel has the names of the first three guys that got the Washington's Purple Heart of Merit. And Miriam said that we deserved that. And I just, I'm trying not to cry because I think that's really, really awesome.
By the way, every broadcast now, this probably doesn't happen on YouTube, or excuse me, Facebook, maybe, I don't know. But so every YouTube broadcast now, at the beginning of every show, there's been at least two commercials that cut off the beginning of the broadcast, and the broadcast stops and you have to restart it.
Right.
That's now been happening, at least 2 weeks now.
Oh, yeah, for 2 weeks. Every single show.
Every show.
So let me ask you again, because I have to do this, guys. I really, really hate this. This is the worst part for me. I have to ask you to go ahead, while you're here, hit the thumbs up. I'm going to go ahead and click it for us. People are like, you like your own page? Well, of course I do. I like my page. If I didn't like my page, I wouldn't be here. Make sure that you also hit the little share thing down there. You see the little share. Hit the share. If you share it, that helps us get people watching. If you're watching us on Facebook right now, hit the thumbs up, you know, hit your like, hit your love, whatever you want to give us, and then also share it as well.
I don't.
It's crazy, JC. By this time, let's see, we have been live now for, we've been live for 11 minutes. By this time, we should have over 100 viewers.
Yeah. I don't know why we can't set a date and vacate. You know?
Well, it's hard to let go of crack, man.
They do those set a date and, you know, put the black square on your social media.
You know what we could do? We could just broadcast a black screen for 12 hours.
No, but there should be. I mean, why can't people who love free speech say, okay, you know,
thank you for sharing on Twitter.
Date X, we are all migrating from YouTube to somewhere.
And that's,
whatever.
That's the point. The somewhere. Where's the
somewhere?
No, but
there is. There are multiple options.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I would like to be able to do this just on our website.
Well, you know? Could.
I would love to just run this on our website. Just tell everybody. You know, we could do a transition period to move people over. You could still share it on Facebook. We could broadcast to YouTube, maybe, but originate from our website.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to do. I'd really like to do. Well, thank you, everybody, for... Look at those thumbs going up. They're great. Everybody, thank you very, very much. So watch the money, JC. Are you ready to watch the money?
So Ben Swan, come on, man. Get to work.
Hurry up, man. Killing me. So last week I reported that the federal government has promised $1.95 billion to produce 1 million COVID-19 vaccine doses. Millions. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was like 100 million. I don't know where it is in here anymore, but by the end of the year. Okay?
Yeah.
So count that. 1.95 billion. Well, guess what The Hill is publishing today?
What's that?
The Hill is publishing today that we have just pledged $2.1 billion to Glaxo and Sanofi for a coronavirus vaccination.
So that's an addition?
In addition.
So this is someone else?
Yes, this is
Pfizer,
someone else.
Okay.
Pfizer gets the $1.95 billion.
So that's $4 billion total?
And yeah.
So far? I mean, just those two.
Just those two. Get together. $4 billion for a coronavirus vaccine. Vaccines for up to 50 million people. You know, we're getting a better deal from Pfizer because I'm pretty sure Pfizer is giving us
a good deal.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Pfizer to produce 100 million doses of vaccines
for $2 billion.
For $1.95 billion. But here we go, $2.1 billion. They're going to give us half of that for more money.
Right. Well, and remember that doesn't vaccinate very many people if we
here's what it is.
Remember what Bill Gates says now. It's going to take more
than
one shot.
Here's the fine print. It's the same number of vaccines, but these you have to do two per person. $42 per person. The deal allows the order of 500 million more doses from the two companies at an unspecified price. Oh, look at that. Not only are we going to pay them $2.1 billion
to make it
for 100 million vaccinations. Are you ready for this? We are also promising to buy 500 million more doses, and we haven't set a price yet. I wonder if that's going to be like the Medicaid pharmaceuticals, where they can just charge us whatever the heck they want to charge us.
Well, don't forget the lemmings get to pay $42 a piece for taking the shot.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I know at least $84 that won't be getting paid.
Well, we'll pay it. We're just not going to be taking it.
I'm not paying for something I'm not taking.
Well, then you're not filing either. Your federal taxes anymore then.
What? That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah,
so
I
remember what was that thing back I don't know, maybe 2 years ago now, maybe more, where if you hadn't paid taxes, like back taxes, someone is accused of back taxes, then they would revoke your passport.
Oh,
remember
that's still there.
Yeah.
That's the Safety and Transportation Act of 2012. So if you are significantly in back taxes, they'll revoke your passport without due process.
Yeah. So wait for that to get connected to vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, so what do you have to do? Take your receipt, like there'll be some line on your taxes and you provide proof. You provide your receipt that you've paid the $42 twice to get vaccinated, or the people getting vaccinated probably will have to input that into a national database. Now, that's assuming, that's ignoring the idea of the chip and nanotechnology and all this tracking crap, or they issue some card or put some stamp on your hand or forehead.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There you go.
But it's no passport.
Right. Right. Yep. And that's where you'll be, because if you don't pay your taxes because you don't want to pay for a vaccination, then, you know, but pay for the vaccination because you already pay for abortions.
Yeah.
You are pay every time you pay your taxes, you pay for abortions. Don't tell me, oh, Chris Ann, the federal law says we're not, our tax dollars don't go to fund abortion clinics. Okay. You think that's the only way we pay for abortions? Do you know how much, do you know how many body parts our federal government buys for research?
Right.
I wanted to read this to you. This is Thomas Jefferson wrote a reply in 1775 to Lord North that had to do with taxation. Okay. He says and this is just a segment from the letter, and I love this because this has been a real help for me in my life. He says, the privilege of giving or withholding our monies is an important barrier against the undue exertion of prerogative, which if left altogether without control may be exercised to our great oppression. And all history shows how efficacious. I like that word, by the way. I use it all the time, efficacious. All history.
It's a very effective word.
Yes. All history shows how efficacious its intercession for redress of grievances and reestablishment of rights, and how improvident would be the surrender of so powerful a mediator. So remember, our founders, this is 1775. We're about to publish our Declaration of Independence. We're already refusing to pay the stamp tax and the other taxes that are being imposed upon us. And Jefferson saying to Lord North, don't get your panties in a wad because we're not paying our taxes. It's our right to refuse to pay our taxes. And I love this, JC. Do you see what other inalienable right he attaches the right to refuse to pay taxes with?
What's that?
The right to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Your right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, our founders expected to be exercised in many different ways. One of them is to protest in the streets peaceably, you know, whatever. Another is to withhold your taxes. I bet the IRS wouldn't appreciate that little bit of information, but there you have it. From the lips of Thomas Jefferson. You have something you want to read out loud over there?
No, I just was reminding myself of some pre-news that I was familiar with.
Some pre-news?
Yeah, pre-news.
Tell me what pre-news is.
Pre-news?
I don't know what that is.
That's news of something before it actually comes to pass.
Oh.
Pre-news.
Is that like premonition?
Pre-news.
Okay.
And the pre-news says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Well, you saw, I don't know if you saw this, I posted this in social media. I wonder if, because I have my Facebook page up here, I wonder if I can find it again. I found on, I probably put it on Twitter, that's where it was. Anyway, I was, when Sonny and I were traveling for our classes, I found this post, this piece of paper posted to the front of the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, there we go. Due to the nationwide coin shortage from the Federal Reserve, we ask that you use contactless mobile payment, a credit card or credit or debit card, or exact change to make your purchases if possible. We apologize for your for the inconvenience. Did COVID kill our coins?
It's just all progression. It's all building.
We're gonna be forced to go digital. I mean, the American people are not like the Chinese. We're not ready to start burning our dollars in the streets like the Chinese did, right? So they create the crises to get us further and further towards the digital. So then, you know, then you have to have that digital thing in your right hand or in your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
That's just bizarre, though, in your forehead. Who's going to put a chip in their forehead? What would be the, I mean, I'm just trying
Sister,
to get the
have you
rationalization.
Seen the things people do with their faces and heads? And I mean, people getting horns surgically.
Okay, but here's
put in their foreheads.
Here's how I envision this, right? You get it in your
grinding
hand.
Grinding their teeth down to look like a freaking lizard or something.
I'm going to pay my groceries at Publix. Right? On my right hand. Or I go.
No, it already exists. No, they're already doing that. No, that's already a thing.
Put it on my forehead. I'm just saying the whole forehead thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird.
I know about the forehead. But the thing in the arm, it already exists. It's already happening.
So, JC, I wanted to talk about what we need to do to end the state and local mandates. And I was actually inspired by you.
Yeah, the mark is in your mind.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that's the thing.
Well, your forehead is your frontal lobe.
Well, it's about allegiance.
I swear, yeah.
It's about allegiance. So whatever physical form that takes, you know, it's basically the idea there in the scripture is you're giving allegiance to that system.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, bowing to that system. You're going along because they're saying you agree, you bow to the system, and then you can eat, you can trade, and you can travel. Don't bow to the system and lose your head. So
Rob says that.
So the argument over literal, metaphorical, whatever is irrelevant. What is the meaning? The meaning is. Bow to the system.
Yeah,
it's allegiance.
It's allegiance.
It's allegiance. You know, and of course, in a biblical context, it's allegiance to the Antichrist.
Now, Cousin Rob says the Fed stopped printing coins. And here's my, will we get rid of the Federal Reserve when we're not printing dollars anymore? I mean, if they're not going to be putting money out on the cotton labeled printing press, then why don't we just get rid of them? Why would we need them?
I'm trying not to get all preachy, but no.
I know. I know it's not. But they'll find another excuse.
It's
anyway.
Part of the system.
Yep. It is part.
It's a core part
of the system.
The system.
So what do we really need to do to get rid of these state and local mandates? Because you inspired me. And I wanted to go through. And I've had people, you know, we had yesterday on the show somebody say, do you know anything about people's filing lawsuits against the mask mandates? And I'm like, yeah, by the way, I actually do. I was actually in a hearing. All day today.
Yeah.
Started at 11 o'clock, picked up again at 2 o'clock. We had the hearing on one of our mask lawsuits here in Hillsborough County. And mind numbing. You should have heard the county attorney. I can talk about this stuff. It's all public record. You should have heard the county attorney. The most dangerous virus we've ever had. Bodies in the street. The crux of the situation was it is the most fatal virus we've ever had.
Fake news.
And yeah, exactly. And so the expert that they put forward was apparently the best that they could have. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited that was the best that they could have, because
sure enjoyed that expert.
I sure enjoyed that expert, and I enjoyed the judge's reaction to that expert. So it was really awesome. Milton, thank you so much for your $5 super chat. What happened to the idea of Q&A Fridays? Well, those are not every Fridays, Milton. Those are just periodic Fridays, because there still is a lot to cover, which is why we do 5 days a week nonetheless. But so I wanted to start with, and I built this whole list of things that we can do, because I know you share this with me. What really, really annoys me is when people are like, what's the one thing? No, it's not a one thing. It's a cumulative of things. It's doing this over here and doing this over here and doing that over there. And not only doing those things, but as we learned from Bernie Thompson, doing those things persistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they were only coming at you
tenacious.
One way, one time, then it could be one thing.
Yes. I have my Wonder Woman coffee mug today with my grapefruit juice in it. So, yes. Okay. So the first thing that I want people to do, okay, because people run around, you know, I got my pocket constitution, right?
Yeah.
The first thing that I want people to do is learn their state constitution. Let me just put it, the one thing. You are not going to defeat these state and local mandates if you are not familiar with your state constitution. It's not going to work. It just simply will not work. And don't even pick up and puke out 14th Amendment to me, because you know 14th Amendment does not work in this room.
What's about jurisdiction?
Yeah. Well, but the Supreme Court claims jurisdiction through everything through the 14th Amendment. So that's why I'm like, don't even tell me
No,
that,
but I'm just saying that what you're saying is about jurisdictions. Yeah. You're not going to show up in
county court, in Hillsborough County Court. Yeah.
You know, these like the EPG, the illegal commission on a local level, and go, the U.S. Constitution says,
right,
they're governed most directly.
I got like, a second
What is governing them right there? You know what I mean?
I got a Second Amendment right. Okay, so every state constitution that I have read has a section like this one in the Florida Constitution called the Declaration of Rights. Mm-hmm. And so ours is online. You just click on it, and then it gives you the sections with all of the rights. And if people, I'm convinced, JC, if people just sat down and looked, I mean, a lot of the state constitutions are just way too voluminous.
Right.
But if the people just sat down and looked at their state constitution in that section of political power, or in that section of Declaration of Rights, and then they looked at their constitution in the section of legislative, and then the section of the executive, and the section of the judiciary, they would get an understanding. I mean, you don't have to get into all the minutia of finance and taxation and education, all that stuff, unless that's a specific aspect of what you're fighting, mm-hmm. right? At least know what your Declaration of Rights is, what your Bill of Rights is, what your basic rights are. That's the kind of headings that I've seen in these state constitutions.
Because it's going to be relevant to the fight.
Because it's relevant to the argument. The argument and the fight. And you have to know legislative. You have to know your branches. You have to know how government is divided. And what's interesting,
who's supposed to be doing what, and what authority do they have
right,
to do what they're
exactly.
doing?
Exactly. Every constitution that I have read so far, and I have not read all 50, okay? But really, I will probably by this time next year. I've got people having me come all over the place to teach this stuff now. So in every state constitution, there's a section like this one here. And I know you guys hate me when I do this on your cell phones, but here it is. It says, the powers of the state government shall be divided into legislative, executive, and judicial branches. No person belonging to one branch shall exercise any powers appertaining to either of the other branches unless expressly provided herein. This is your separation of powers clause. So this, in these state mandates, because the majority of them are coming from executive departments. Okay, so you've got your governor, which is the executive branch, running around issuing executive orders as if they are to be presented as law. And so what you need to understand is that your state constitution prohibits violations of separation of powers. Your legislature, when you click on the legislature branch,
I would say it declares them unlawful.
And unconstitutional.
It takes the people to prohibit it.
Yes, right. Exactly. Thank you. The legislative portion will tell you that legislative power of the state is reserved or vested or delegated, they use those words, in a legislature, which means the lawmakers are the legislative branch. Then when you click on the section that talks about the executive, it's Article 4 in the Florida Constitution, it says the executive, which is your governor, the supreme executive power shall be vested in the governor, and it'll say that the governor's obligation is to take care that the laws be faithfully executed. So your governor has no authority to write laws. So you can do that. Now, when you know that, you can find a lawyer to file a lawsuit, because that's one of your options. You file a lawsuit. But let me mention to you, of all the things that we do, JC, of all of these things that we're going to talk about today, this is probably the slowest solution and quite possibly the least effective. Now, it is, let's just say, it's the nuclear bomb that drops when it goes in your favor. Sure. But if you win, as I was explaining today to somebody, if you win on the county level, okay, if you win on the county level, then you've wiped out the unconstitutional act at the county level. And that's it. You're done. But if you lose at the county level and you appeal to the circuit level and you win at the circuit level, boom, you've knocked out all those laws in the entire circuit. If you lose at the circuit level and you appeal to the Supreme Court level, boom, you've knocked out all those laws on a statewide level, right? Mm-hmm. So the harder you work, the greater return, if you win. But we know in some places, the courts are just simply not going to be on your side. Yeah, I mean, you find yourself in California, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a court that's going to find in your favor this way.
Well, I think in looking at this stuff, you know, you start closest. You know, mm-hmm. as I was looking at today, we have the EPG.
Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Thank you,
so
Randall.
So beyond the state level, yeah. there's even, right. I think, even closer.
Well, but closer is fighting same, county level.
Same argument, and you may even make that argument in the same place. Mm-hmm. But I would think you'd want to bring that argument in when you file a lawsuit, mm-hmm. If you're making only an argument, to the state constitution without addressing the violations of county charters, right. et cetera, you're probably missing part of the argument.
Right. So, Randall Crabtree, thank you for your super chat sticker with the blue pear that is bowing with us. Thank you so much. Yeah, so now remember I said this is a cumulative action. For me, even though I'm a lawyer, I'll tell you, if you're going to file a lawsuit, it's worthless if you're not doing everything else. So here's what we learned from our friend Bernie Thompson. I don't know, you want to put this in your ear, JC. Bernie made this video for us because this was something that we were doing at the county level because our county commission, well, our EPG, which is called the Emergency Policy Group, was violating the rights of the people that were coming in. So Bernie made this video for me. I'm not going to play all 3 minutes, but it'll give you an idea. See, now that all your county meetings are videoed, you can download them. And then you have this record. You can make your own little videos. Watch this.
Very politically charged issue. There are powers that want the numbers to be high because they want to shut our economy down for political gain, including members of this very group. There are 3 core corrupt members, and if you had any shame, I wouldn't be calling
you out. Excuse me, sir.
We, let me pause there for just a second. Because what's happening is during these EPG meetings, they have a section for public comments. And this person, Jason Kimball, has called. He's very upset with the county. He knows the local ordinances. He knows the county's power. And he's condemning them for continuing to violate the people's rights. In the voice you're about to hear is the chairman. His name is Les Miller.
Excuse me, sir. Would you stop? Excuse me, sir. When you start getting personal, we're going to cut you off. Stop getting personal. Just continue your comments, but not get personal with the members, okay?
Okay, I'm not getting personal, but we cannot tolerate corruption in the EPG, okay? So if you don't want to be called out, just don't be corrupt. It's a very simple, okay? So Commissioner Overman, that's Mayor Caster, and honestly, Chair, I'm very disappointed in you. I don't understand.
You're done, sir. Like, you're done. Cut him off, please. Okay. Cut him off.
So catch that. He just cut off his personal comment, mm-hmm. His public comment, to which he has a right to petition the government for a redress of his grievances, which is already listed in our Florida Constitution as well.
So Les Miller just violated the law.
He just violated
the law.
This
is Florida what we call here Florida Sunshine Laws.
He violated Florida Sunshine Laws. He also violated Florida Constitution by eliminating his right to be heard, mm-hmm. to redress his grievances. So this was the first meeting. So Jason contacts me. I say, you call him back.
Get personal, and he did just that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're there, the one thing we want you to do is have your say. But when you start getting personal, we don't want to do that. I warned him once not to get personal, and he did it again anyway.
Now, let me mention to you, JC, and everybody that's listening, what we call that is content discrimination.
Right.
He can't tell you what you can and cannot say. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't go on the public comment section and say, I'm going to slit your throat or I'm going to, you know, burn down your house.
Mm-hmm.
But you are, the whole point of freedom of speech, the whole point of the right to do that is to criticize them, mm-hmm. right? This is the point.
So he thinks it's personal. So they're, and throughout the process, they were constantly violating Florida Sunshine Laws.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you know, the challenge is holding them accountable to that. Florida Sunshine Laws in Florida, as in most places, it's almost a paper tiger, because then you have to deal with the state attorney general and somebody's got to do something about it. So they were just constantly running these meetings however they want, violating Sunshine mm-hmm. Laws. So when you make a characterization of corrupt, that's corrupt.
Right, right.
So it's not about personal, like, I hate you, you're a bad father, and you beat your kids or whatever. No, he's talking within the realm of their function, what they're doing here in the business of the Florida citizens,
mm-hmm.
the voters. You're conducting our business in a corrupt manner. So he has no right to say you can't say those things.
Right,
exactly. It's the very purpose of having this forum.
Right.
Please, please. Make your comments, whether you're pro-mask, against mask, whatever the case may be. But please do not get personal with the members of the EPG. We're not getting personal with you. Please don't get personal with us. Moving to the public comments section. I'm going to put something new on the public comments section today. The Emergency Policy Group, the EPG, welcome comments from citizens about any issue or concern. Your opinions are valued in terms of providing input to the EPG members. However, is requested at the same time when you address the EPG that comments are not directed personally against an EPG member, a staff member, or a presenter, but rather directed at the issues. This provides a mutual respect between the EPG members and the public. 20 minutes has been set aside for public comment.
We have to stop killing our community. Ultimately, you guys are not rulers.
This
You're
is Jason again.
To the people, and I'm telling you, especially Vice Mayor Ross and Commissioner Merman, the people will hold you accountable come Election Day. The radicals won't be there to protect you in the future. They only need you now. You think the majority of Hillsborough citizens approve of what you're doing? You're wrong, Commissioner Merman. They don't. Do not allow this emergency policy group to dissolve
Sir,
in shame. Do not
think,
do the mask.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Now listen to what he has to say, and this is, okay, so the whole opening statement that he gives is a complete violation. I mean, it is textbook stuff. When I was practicing First Amendment law, this is textbook stuff, mm-hmm. right? So I have been telling people over and over again, these county people, they don't have a clue. I don't know if they went to the county attorney with that statement before they gave it. I can't imagine them giving that statement without going to the county attorney first. But you have to understand, the county attorney does not understand the Constitution.
Apparently.
Well, but again, constitutional law is very, very specialized. Only a handful of people actually practice that or even study it because you don't make money at it.
But within this particular matter, it's also very, very clear.
It is very, very clear. It is absolutely very, very clear. And I'm not going to play the rest, but Miller goes on to give this big, this is Miller, the man, the lady that Jason Kimball was telling that I'm not going to be, you know, you're going to be held accountable. He didn't threaten them. He said, you will be
come
held
I think you
accountable.
Said come election
come
time.
Come election time, right? This is Merman. So then Miller is going to spend the next 24 seconds apologizing to Merman for letting Jason Kimball speak. Right? So let me show you now. Within this realm, we have actually two things that you can do. You can be as Jason did and call in. Everybody needs to call in. Everybody needs to take up. There should never be a day in a county commission or a school board meeting or a city council meeting when there is extra time left over for public comment.
Mm-hmm.
It should always be maxed out. Everybody should be calling like Jason did. And then number two is making the videos.
Yeah, everything is recorded now. So anytime you speak to these guys or question and they respond. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have ready-made material to then begin exposing these people.
Yeah, what's amazing is that our EPG things were even, they have the words at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
So they're already transcribed. You don't even have to do anything extra. Thank you, Larry Rogers, for your $50 super chat. He says the coin shortage is the first step of going cashless, microchips with your bank info, and the mark of the beast. Yep, absolutely. Yes.
98 Charlie.
98 Charlie. So there we have it, right? You have to know your state constitution. This is where we are so far. You file a lawsuit, but filing a lawsuit alone is not going to help. You have to also be involved locally.
It's not going to help.
Well, it is going to help, but I think that
it's not the single solution is what you're trying to say.
I don't.
The only thing to do.
I think that if the only thing you're doing is filing a lawsuit, it's not going to work. I really think it's not going to work. You have to have public support behind that. And part of the reason is they know that the lawyers and the courtrooms are all, you know.
What exactly do you mean public support?
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being involved at the county level, about
public involvement.
Public involvement, yeah.
Going. So you're not saying a majority of people's got to be on your side.
No. I'm not saying a majority of the people's on our side. I mean the people who are on our side have to be involved publicly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do what Jason's doing. You have to call in. You have to do that. Now, here's what we did after that, right? So you have the video. From that, I wrote a letter to the county attorney. I hope this letter finds you well. A genuinely concerning matter has come to my attention that must be immediately addressed to prevent further harm.
Mm-hmm.
And I outlined and I gave the county attorney the law.
Right.
And then told them, you're will wrong. Not do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Or we will sue you. Right. Here's the thing. People are like, well, not everybody's an attorney, blah. Let me tell you what. An attorney will write a letter for you for like $150, $200 max.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not a guarantee of a lawsuit. Most attorneys will for us this fee, whatever their hourly rate is, write you a cease and desist letter. As a matter of fact, if you know your state constitution, you can take the letter that I wrote and just use it as a template.
Right.
Right? But you have to know it. So here we have.
You can write as a group. Like if you have.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can study their constitution and look at the law. You write something like this and you don't say, I'm an attorney and I'm going to sue you. You could say, we're this group. This is what's going to happen. Or we will get an attorney to sue you.
Right. Exactly. So you can write your own letters. I think an attorney letter to the county attorney is powerful, but I also believe a group letter written to the members and the county attorney. See, what I did was I wrote the letter to the county attorney, and then I emailed every single county commissioner, every single member on the EPG, which are three mayors, a sheriff, a member of the school board, and a handful of county commissioners, right?
Mm-hmm.
I emailed them all the letters so they would all get it at the same time and they would all realize that what he's doing is wrong. So now, not only have I informed the county attorney, I've informed everybody on the board. So then you can get your help from the people on the board who don't want to violate people's rights,
mm-hmm.
right? So then, how else do you get involved? Now, you did this, you made this, this is what inspired me to finally do this show to begin with. So, you made this Facebook post about our emergency planning group. You saw the video, you saw the chat room of who all they are. And you went in and you said, who will be accountable for violating the Hillsborough County's charter? Who created the illegal body known as the EPG in violation of the county charter? Who is responsible for declaring this de facto martial law? Who removed your representative from elective position? Will Merman, Overman, Miller, Chronister, Ross, Lott, Snively, Castor, Wise be held accountable for violating the Hillsborough County Charter by issuing ordinances outside of their delegated authority? Now, what I want you to do, JC, is I want you to explain to the people.
Yeah.
Where did you start and how did you get this information?
Well, first off, I intend to make a kind of a broader version to put on your website with your permission.
And, absolutely.
And additionally, it's my intent to turn that into a letter to the editor to every paper mm-hmm. in this county and in this area. So that's the other thing I wanted to do with this as well. But this goes to what I was saying, where you start. So you're talking about people, these are county officials, okay? So therefore, they're part of county government.
Mm-hmm.
Every county has some sort of charter or something. Like there are, you pointed to the state constitution, there are portions of a state constitution that govern county, that outline, you know, basic requirements of county government. And then specifically there are county charters that create the county and mm-hmm. and then, you know, outline what it'll be. So, I mean, as far as where do I start, I Googled Hillsborough County Charter. And,
right.
you know, within a half a second, I was reading it.
Yeah, but see, I don't want you to skip the easy parts, because I think it's important for people to understand just how simple it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of Googling county charter.
Your county charter.
So your county, I mean, not everybody has a county charter. They call them by different right. names, but you've got to get informed on the lingo and that sort of thing.
And that's one of the issues as far as making the argument and your approach. I think you have to understand, too, because in America we have Dillon rule, home rule, those issues. Mm-hmm. So there and then partial home rule or whatever. So your county, where depending on where you are, your county governance, you know, may be different. So in Florida is by and large a home rule state. In 1983, Hillsborough County became a home rule county, and so there's their charter for 1983 and you know, all whatever it is today. But when you look at the charter, it mirrors what you were pointing out in the state constitution. So the charter is like the county's constitution. So the county's constitution essentially mirrored the state constitution in regards to the fundamental makeup of government, right? Because mm-hmm. it mirrors the republic in general. So I think the U.S. Constitution requires the states to be Republican-style representative government, right?
Right.
And so that's the same at every level. So when you look at the county charter, it has separation of powers,
mm-hmm.
and it very clearly says that all legislative authority is invested in the legislature.
Right.
And that would
you
be...
You actually pulled this up, and I'm going to go ahead and
yeah.
put that up there so everybody can see. Now, let me pause you for just one second, JC, because we had a question in the chat room. What is home rule? What is Dillon rule? Well, let me explain to you. Dillon rule says that the state's orders are superior over any county order. So if you have a challenge of authority, the county cannot supersede the state on issues not specifically delegated through the Constitution. A home rule state is where issues don't have to be specifically delegated through the Constitution. The local power supersedes state level power.
Yeah. So the state,
you posted
the state
this
doesn't,
right here, your stuff.
In Florida is a home rule state, and so the state government doesn't rule or overrule counties. That's not how we work. So in home rule counties, they can make ordinances and assign penalties for those things and whatnot. So in the charter, in the home rule charter for the, you know, which basically creates the county of Hillsborough in its current mm-hmm. governmental format.
It's like the county's constitution.
Exactly. And so it says all legislative power is in the legislative body, which would be your county commission.
Well, it says right here, the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah. So in our case, county commissioners, you know, you have different terminology in different places throughout the country. But so it'd be the same kind of thing on the city level in, you know, whatever, what do they call it? City council and things
right.
like that. And even within the Hillsborough County Charter, it talks about not only a separation between the branches, executive mm-hmm. and legislative. it also talks about a separation between the municipal government, that is the mm-hmm. city of Tampa, mm-hmm. and Hillsborough County. They are not mixed. They are distinctly separate and cannot mix. Hillsborough County does not have jurisdiction over the municipal within the municipal boundaries of Tampa, mm-hmm. nor does Tampa have jurisdiction over the county. They are separate.
Right.
Okay. So that's all in there. And then I also searched, I forget what I searched. I looked up, I Googled something in particular that brought up, guidance from the state attorney general. Mm-hmm. And I came across a letter that specifically addressed this separation mm-hmm. between county and municipal, and in particular, numerous times in the attorney general's, this is like from 1981, still mm-hmm. standing. I think Ashley Moody, the current attorney general, reshared this in this current context about these mandates. And it said the legislative body, it kept repeating legislative body has the authority to, you know, make these ordinance and mm-hmm. penalties and that sort of thing. So here's the problem. In Hillsborough County, and I don't know if this has happened in any way anywhere else in the country, but it's crazy. In Hillsborough County, somehow was created this board, this EPG, which actually is made up of, what is there? There's two mayors and a vice mayor.
A school board member.
And a couple of county, I think three county commissioners.
Yes.
Okay. So it's a total mixture of legislative and executive people, mm-hmm. officials, as well as combining jurisdictions.
Right.
The Castor is the mayor of Tampa. She has no jurisdiction over the county
Much
whatsoever.
Less law writing authority.
So is the mayor of Plant City.
And the vice mayor
has
of
no
Temple
jurisdiction
Terrace.
Over the entire county. The vice mayor of Temple Terrace, mm-hmm. and then a sheriff who is part of the executive.
Yeah, right? And the school board member.
So this is not the legislative body. This is by no stretch of the imagination a legislative body mm-hmm. in a properly authorized legislative body in Hillsborough County. And here's the thing. So they make the argument about the emergency and the virus.
Yeah.
Look, these are how many? 8 people meeting remotely. Who's making an argument similar human beings
called the Board of
that
County
we've elected, called the Board of County Commissioners, can't conduct their meetings in the same? What makes these people special that they can do it mm-hmm. and our actually authorized constitutional chartered legislative body can't do this? So in my mind, or it seems to me through this analysis, the EPG is completely illegal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Extra governmental body.
Right, exactly.
And therefore, every order that they've made and everything they've done should be null and void, illegal, illegitimate. And not only that, I think every one of these people should somehow be held accountable for conducting.
It's fraudulent government.
Absolutely fraudulent. It's like rogue. It's like you could have, you know, three members of, I don't know, Bautista's, mm-hmm. you know, Contras come up here and set up some body and say they're going to issue orders over the government. This is a completely illegitimate body.
We have just a few minutes left, and there's a couple more things that I want to tell us, the things that we can do. So we have to learn our Constitution. We have to file a lawsuit, but we must back the lawsuit with support from the public. We must be involved in our meetings. We must be responsive in our meetings. We can write letters. We can get involved. We can write letters to the editor. We do our research. Here's the other thing.
Be familiar with your county charters and your city charters.
With your county charters. So this came across my radar today, actually, because of the hearing that I was involved in. And back 20 years ago, Tampa outlawed lap dancing. And they created a 6-foot rule for strip clubs. You're not allowed to be 6 feet, any closer than 6 feet to your customers if you're not wearing any clothes. Okay? So you can see how that came up in my hearing today. Anyway,
sure.
But they have this thing now. And the response, I'm trying to get away from the pictures here, but the response by the strip clubs was what I want to show you, okay? The response was they went about their business and they got arrested. Mm-hmm. And they got arrested en masse. They got arrested with so many, and they showed up. Here they are showing up. Here they are showing up at JC. They show up at the county commissioner's meeting where they're going to pass this law to, you know, for their 6-foot rule. And then at the end of the day, when the new mayor of Tampa goes away and the old mayor goes away, we get a new mayor. All of a sudden, the enforcement stops. And the answer is in the article is that they said, we don't have the resources to deal with all of the infractions, all of the tickets that were been written. And so for me, I thought, this is amazing. There were over 300 arrests by the end of July 2001 for this. They just said, fine, I'm going to violate. They said they would come in and raid these strip clubs. They would arrest the people. And then the people who weren't arrested would go about doing what they were doing before the people got arrested. So they were continually having to arrest people.
So the mass noncompliance drained the resources from the enforcement.
The mass noncompliance drained the resources. Stop wearing your mask and make them enforce the law. Make them enforce it. Right now, nobody's enforcing it. Now that you'd be like, hey, Chrisanne, that's easy to say. You're not the one getting arrested. But here's the bottom line. There's going to be, when government has been unchecked for so long and has become this tyrannical, you're going to have a group of people willing to make that kind of sacrifice. They did that during the civil rights movement. The sit-ins, they knew they were going to get arrested. Sure. They knew they were going to go to jail. And so make them put their money where their mouth is. Yeah. Overload the court systems with lawsuits. Overload the court system. Overload the county people who issue their citations, right? The code enforcement people. Overload them. There's just, that's what Algernon Sidney did. So
to factor in the citizen enforcement now.
Yeah.
And you factor that in.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of Karens and Looney Tunes out there.
So do
you
a
gotta
sit
deal,
in.
You got to deal with those too.
But you had citizen enforcement during the civil rights movement. Stage a sit in at Walmart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? You got to do these things. Right. Well, we got to go, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Hope this helps. We will see you next week.